Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Right now talking Vols, a disappointing end in Omaha. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Doing well. Tired. Been a long baseball season, but been a lot of fun at the same time.
Absolutely. I bet you are. I bet some much-needed rest coming your way hopefully soon. Mike, let's start with just the Vols and their trip to Omaha, obviously falling to Virginia. And then yesterday, a promising start offensively, and then just kind of sputtered out for the Vols down the stretch. What stood out to you about the way the Vols played in Omaha, and what do you think was hindering them from being as dynamic as we've seen them be at times this year, especially offensively?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the Virginia game, they ran into a very, very good pitcher, and that was kind of what I saw happen there. There were just so many opportunities, though, that they failed to capitalize on, and that was kind of jarring in a way to watch, because that was very much not the identity of this Tennessee team throughout the season. They kind of always came through in those moments, but they failed to do so in that game. And, yesterday, I think it was just the pitching. You looked at the leadoff walks. I think second, third, and fourth innings all had leadoff walks, and all the runs came around to score. I mean, that's a sin in baseball to walk the leadoff runner, because they're going to score most of the time, and they did. And the other issue was two out runs. Seven of Texas' eight came with two outs, and, you know, it just wasn't very good baseball. Kind of throughout the two games for Tennessee, and they're gone home because of it.
So in the end, Mike, was this team, I mean, I think this was a special team season. I mean, just incredible some of the moments they created and the way they fought back in a lot of situations. Was this I just look at them, and I think particularly on the pitching front, and certainly some injuries are part of this, but I feel like they're maybe a little bit better, you know, some of the parts better than the parts team. Especially when it comes to that. Did that get exposed a little bit in Omaha, just a little bit of a talent differential between them and some of those other teams?
I do think there is a talent differential. And that, to me, is one of the very interesting things about this Tennessee team. They don't have a this-year first-round pitcher. Blade Tidwell could be that guy next year, potentially. And he really came on late in the year. But the pitching staff was pretty thin. Really only three starters, and really only three slash maybe four relievers that were steadily trusted. So it's a pretty thin group, but that group also was highly successful against, you know, all the SEC teams pretty much. So there's a talent gap, but they overcame that by, yeah, I think what you were kind of saying, Joe, the sum was better than the parts. And that's why Tennessee won 50 games and got to the College World Series and did what it was able to do. But I do think this was a team with a lot more strength offensively than pitching. But Chad Dowd still had a phenomenal year. Blade Tidwell had a phenomenal year. Sean Hunley, despite the way it ended, still had a strong year. So those guys probably overachieved, and so did this team in some ways.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, obviously the attention shifted pretty quickly in the postgame yesterday to Tony Vitello and his future with the program. Says he's not had contact with LSU, but as we know, that job is still open. How concerned at this point do you think Tennessee fans should be that maybe Tony Vitello is a very real option for LSU? And what do you kind of think about the way Tony Vitello addressed that yesterday in his postgame press conference?
Yeah, I'll start just talking about the way it was addressed. I thought the answer was right about what I would expect. My understanding is that he has not had any direct contact with LSU. That's exactly what he said yesterday. And, you know, he followed that up by basically saying it would have been a disservice to my team to think about anything beyond this season before the season's over. And that, to me, was the response to the second half of the question, which was, do you expect to be Tennessee baseball's coach next season? So it just sounded to me like there's a lot of things that have to be settled and decided, whether that's at Tennessee, whether that's potential opportunities elsewhere. But it sounded to me like a guy who knows that he wanted to invest everything into this team and then figure that out, which is understandable. In 2019, before he received an extension and raise at Tennessee, Philip Fulmer approached him in May about that stuff, and he didn't want to do it till after the season. So it kind of goes along with who Tony Vitello is and how he does business. But, I mean, the LSU job is potentially the best job in the country. And Tony Vitello is one of the hottest coaches in the country. So it's natural that there's interest there, and it would be natural for there to be interest on both sides. I don't know what the concern level should be for Tennessee. I think the fact that LSU still doesn't have a coach is a bit concerning if you're a Tennessee fan. But at the same time, there's at least two other coaches out there that are still in Omaha as well that surely LSU would be courting as well.
Okay, so let's take it to – I mean, I think it would be crazy for LSU not to fully explore Tony Vitello as a potential hire. So let's say it gets to that and they make a good offer and Tennessee, you know, does what he would want Tennessee to do in terms of, you know, we know he's going to be making a lot more money, but the facility commitment, you know, the salary pool, whatever resources he would need. And he's sitting there with those two things in front of him. Where do you think he would go?
It's a great question, and what's interesting to me is I don't know at the end of the day what the deciding factor is going to be if there is a decision to make. I mean, assuming that there's offers on the table from both parties, obviously LSU is a finished product. Facilities-wise, history-wise, program-wise, it's built. On the counterpoint, I imagine there's something to the notion of building something yourself and having it be yours, and I don't know. If that's the factor, I don't know what the decision comes down to, but I assume Tennessee is going to throw the bank at Tony Vitello, whether there's an offer from LSU or not, because I'm sure they'd like to secure him for many, many years to come. So yeah, I don't know what that's going to come down to, but I mean, on paper, the jobs certainly have their notable differences. And I guess if Tony Vitello has a decision to make, I'm not envious of having to be the one to make that choice.
Mike, what have you thought of the umpiring so far in the College World Series? Obviously, that was a big topic of conversation yesterday on Vol Twitter with the review and the ejection in the game as well. What did you think of that? Did you think it had any impact on the outcome of the game? And what have you thought of the umpiring in the College World Series so far as a whole?
I mean,
let it loose, Mike.
What's that?
Don't hold back, buddy.
It was lackluster in Tennessee's game yesterday. I thought the strike zone was inconsistent, but that also kind of is a regular thing in college baseball. I thought the absurd moment certainly was Ross Kivett getting tossed. A third base umpire running down the third base line to throw out a volunteer assistant coach for slamming his hand on the rail for whether it was about a strike call or whether it was frustration with the pitcher walking two out of three batters to open the inning, that umpire doesn't know that. So I thought that was kind of a quick trigger to throw out anyone, especially for such a small action at that time. And that wasn't great. And obviously the replay of that play at the plate was tricky. I think that's one where it was going to stand regardless of what it was called, just because that typically seems the way that calls go when they're that close. But obviously there was some pretty convincing photographic evidence that the foot was in the air. I don't know that had a direct impact on the outcome of the game. I mean, obviously it put a run on the board that ends an inning. I think that would have been 5-4 if that run didn't come in. So it's hard to play the hypothetical momentum swing game. I do think, I mean, I played baseball. Anytime you throw out a runner at the plate, there's certainly a boost in the dugout. You stop the run from scoring, gets you going a little bit. Instead, obviously, they scored that run, that being Texas, another run. Tennessee comes up, goes 1-2-3 and maybe 5 or 6 pitches and doesn't respond. So hard to know how that changes the game, but I mean, anytime you get a call going against you like that, I think it's tough to deal with.
All right, let's get to the important stuff. Mike's been texting me some pictures this week from Omaha, some food items. Leadbelly, did you get the raspberry beret? For anybody who doesn't know, and we only knew of Leadbelly in Lincoln, Nebraska, but there's one in Omaha. It is a peanut butter, raspberry jelly, and candied bacon burger.
Wow.
Did you get one?
You know I did, because I knew you would never speak to me again if I didn't.
Was it as good as it's in my mind it is?
It is, and I think we had 8 of us there that night for dinner, various Knoxville media members, and I believe half the table had the burger and were very pleased with the outcome of the dinner. So we did not disappoint, Joe. I'm teaching these people the ways of Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska.
I'm very, very proud. And anybody out there, do not shy away from the peanut butter and jelly burger. I'm telling you.
It's pretty good. Absolutely. Very well done, Mike. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroy. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols when we come back and get into the concern level for Tennessee with Tony Vitello. How real could this be for Vitello going to LSU? We'll get into that coming up next. Also, make sure you're tuning in later this morning. It's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tonight, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. We'll have that opportunity for you later this hour at 9:45. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on 102.5 The Game. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox at First Horizon Park. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:50 and first pitch is at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, a tough loss for the Vols. They go 0-2 at Omaha, back home now after a loss to Texas yesterday in a game where started off pretty well, especially offensively. Jordan Beck comes up with a huge hit. Tennessee takes a 2-0 lead, and you thought, okay, maybe a little nerves in the first game against Virginia. They had some base runners that they left on base and just couldn't come up with the clutch hits that we've seen Tennessee come up with all season long. Started off well yesterday. And then a couple of double plays in the game, including one with the bases loaded, where it's just a great defensive play by Texas, a sharply hit ball to the third base. They come home with it. Catcher makes a great play to scoop it, sends it over to first for the double play, and they get out of the inning with no runs allowed. Just a couple of big moments in that game where Texas answered the bell and Tennessee did not, and a disappointing ending for an otherwise spectacular season for the Tennessee baseball team.
Yeah, it wasn't their best, and that was, and I think Mike Wilson used the word jarring, and I can agree with that on the first game. Just the opportunities they create against, again, a really good pitcher pitching at the top of his game, but to have those opportunities and not come through, you're just used to seeing this team come through. Not that it's been a perfect team this year, but way more times than not, it has been very clutch, so that was disappointing, and you know, yesterday there were some bad breaks. There were not just the calls and the replay that should have been overturned, but you know, that hot shot with the bases loaded that turns into a 5-2-3.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see a lot of 5-2-3s, you know, and that so that's a and then another double play later that also was a tough turn for them that you know, kept Tennessee off the board. I mean, I thought they really had a great approach early. I also thought, you know, Blade Tidwell looked like a young pitcher in moments in that game where, you know, you stake him to a lead and I maybe, you know, just not attacking the strike zone enough. I mean, easy for us to sit here and say that. But I think he's better than that, too. I think he's going to be really good. You know, but it was a team that its performance to me was better than its roster. It was an overachieving team, and you got to keep that in mind. You also got to keep in mind that, again, if Vitello is back, and I would guess he would be, but there are some things to come here. If he's back, there are going to be Tennessee teams with more talent than that one. Now, you got to have all the other intangibles that this team had, and that's not easy to do, but I think he sets the tone for that.
And Tony Vitello in the post game yesterday was asked about whether or not he's been contacted by LSU for their open coaching position, and whether or not he expects to be the coach next year at Tennessee. Here's what Tennessee head coach Tony Vitello had to say.
Tony, have you had any communication with LSU regarding its vacant coaching position? And do you expect to be the head coach at Tennessee next season?
No, I've not had zero. And, you know, I just made an idiot out of myself, at least for all the masculine folks watching, by getting teary-eyed about these kids. And that's where my focus has been. So, like I said, the social life hasn't been existent for quite some time. well before our opening day game. And a part of that is I want to do as good of a job as I can for the school that gave me a chance. And I want to do as good of a job I can for a group that we thought could go pretty far. And then, you know, the way the season evolved, like I said, I mean, the emotions, certainly not fake. I don't know if it's embarrassing or not, but it's coming from a place where that's my number one concern is these guys. And I'll go back to the room, and anyone who knows me, it'll be bad how much I critique myself, and it hurts. So I'm certainly not going to waste energy before a game or any other game having regrets that, you know, my mind wasn't right or we weren't prepared the right way to go into whatever game it might be.
So that was Tony Vitello after the loss yesterday to Texas. Some interesting comments there. First off, the no not having contact with – all the tweets yesterday from, like, the quote says, no, he didn't have contact with LSU.
Not zero.
That's probably what he meant. He did say not zero. So maybe a little coded message
also from Vitello? Also, Tony, men have feelings too. It's okay to cry.
It's okay, Tony.
It's okay to cry, Tony. Yeah, that was interesting. And then just sort of go talk about other stuff after being asked about that. But – look.
But what do you expect in that situation?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I've been saying, like, LSU would be, it would be terrible business by LSU and their AD to not really look at Tony Vitello. I think it would be a big mistake for him to not embrace that and to not talk with them. And if you get an offer and that helps your current situation, more power to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's, you know, nothing wrong with that. You can tie this to the whole conversation we've been having, by the way, about college athletics, you know. Coaches do this all the time. They get more money. They benefit from what they do, and that's why that's how it should be. So I wouldn't begrudge him that at all. Obviously, you hope if you're a Tennessee fan that he decides to stay. And I think Mike Wilson laid it out well last segment. LSU might be the best job in the country, so it's hard to argue with that. But Tennessee, the opportunity to build something and make it your own program and sit, like, have a hand in probably the worst. Again, I love Lindsey Nelson Stadium, but I mean, in terms of amenities and what it offers, probably the worst in the SEC. To turn that into something different and pack a different kind of place there and have a lot more, you know, blue chip recruits coming in who are going to be pros and then come back to Omaha over and over again. I would think there'd be a lot of appeal in that other beyond, you know, yay, next guy at LSU and better win some titles.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the LSU coaching search, it's getting close now to a month into this thing. I think Mineri announced his retirement on May 28th, somewhere around there. And I think their early target was Kevin O'Sullivan at Florida. He said no. I think they've talked to Pat Casey, Mike Bianco as well, Cliff Goblin from East Carolina.
Who's still in there.
Who's still in there.
Would not be a bad – it almost feels like Godwin's their backup if they don't get Vitello, but yep. I could be wrong.
Well, it does feel that way, but no offer apparently is on the table.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Tim Corbin's taking the job. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently Tim Corbin. I mean, look, I guess you at least ask him.
I would ask him.
Yeah. Make him tell you no.
Right.
He probably is going to tell you no, but doesn't hurt to ask, I guess.
I mean, if Tennessee, when they just opened up, didn't ask Nick Saban, what are they even doing?
Yeah,
what exactly are they even doing? Wait, you got Heupel, but try Saban first.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
So it feels like LSU is waiting for somebody. Now, is that Tony Vitello, or is it somebody that's still in the tournament in Omaha? I don't know, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they got a front row seat to Tony Vitello in the Super Regional. It makes a lot of sense to try and connect those dots, I think. I think, you know, if you asked me a week and a half ago, I wasn't all that worried about Vitello leaving and taking the LSU job. It kind of felt like they were going in a different direction. I'm starting to get a little worried. Maybe it's LSU, and maybe it's Tony Vitello for them.
Well, right. I mean, I think that the timing of all this, because, yes, he really wasn't in the discussion, the public discussion, early. The fact that we're here, I think that by far the easiest way to explain that is waiting to have a real conversation with him, which they should. I mean, he should be one of the most, you know, attractive candidates out there. Talking about a young guy who's done some pretty remarkable stuff in a short time in Knoxville.
When we come back, we'll get into Vanderbilt taking on Stanford tonight in an elimination game. Tough loss for the Doors the other day and just a great job by Jack Leiter on the mound. Can the Doors stay alive tonight? What's it going to take for them to rebound and find their way into the College World Series final? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game today from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head over to Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match. Get your tickets now for Nashville SC at NashvilleSC.com and tune in to the game on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, speaking of Nashville SC, we've got Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila, coming up in the next segment at 9:45, so make sure you're ready for that. We'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes. Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt tonight taking on Stanford, a tough loss for the Vandy boys the other day. Jack Leiter pitched a whale of a game, 15 strikeouts for Leiter. I thought he was awesome. Tim Corbin talked about it after the game. He was in command. He did everything he could possibly do to give Vanderbilt a chance to win that game, and the offense just wasn't there. I think they had two base runners the entire game, so not going to win a whole lot of baseball games when that's the case. Now playing Stanford in the elimination game, and the road to get to the College World Series final has just become a whole lot tougher for Vanderbilt. We've talked about Rocker and Leiter all season long. In order to get to where they want to get to, and that is the College World Series final, and to try to repeat as national champions, it's now going to require them to go pretty deep into their pitching rotation. What do you kind of make of that prospect for Vanderbilt, and what do you think of their pitching depth and their pitching rotation as they move forward now, starting with a game tonight, an elimination game against Stanford?
Yeah, it's so different. I mean, it's incredible. You think about, you push two runs across the other night. That's all you need. That's all Jack Leiter needs, two runs. He gives you a complete game. I mean, 15 strikeouts, just absolutely electric. And now you are sitting around till Friday.
Yep.
To win one game, to be in the final series. And the difference between that and this, just like Virginia, Mississippi State last night, what a difference it makes for Mississippi State and Virginia, Mississippi State coming back to win that game. Now instead, you got to win three. You got to win tonight. You got to eliminate Stanford. And then you got to beat NC State twice on Friday and on Saturday. And look, it's going to be, I mean, in a way, and I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans will say, shut up. But in a way, if they just would have cruised and it would have been just like Rocker and Leiter, it would have been too easy. It wouldn't have been as fun. Now, to me, I'm trying to take a sunshiny view here.
You're entering the spin zone on this one.
Yeah. This is like the NCAA.
You've got spider tack on this spin.
This is like Mark Emmert, like, well, it's not a big deal. It should be fine after the Supreme Court 9-0 dunk fest the other day. But look, I'll say this. Now, if Vanderbilt ends up winning it all, it's going to be because a whole bunch of guys stepped up because they have to. And one great thing about Leiter's performance, other than just how great it was individually, was no one else was used that night. And Tim Corbin mentioned that after the game. So you got the full compliment. The question is, who all can you rely on? I mean, the three M's you feel good about: McIlvain, Murphy, Maldonado. You're gonna have Rocker for one of these games if you have three.
Now, could that be tonight?
No.
He pitched Saturday. You're talking 5 days.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I haven't even considered that. I guess you're right. Well, no, wait a minute. It'd be
so three days rest.
Yeah, I don't think
three Sunday, full days. I mean,
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
But they're used to a week. I mean, maybe six. So, no, it won't be Rocker tonight. I think it will be Rocker if they get to Friday. I think Rocker would be the Friday choice.
Then you go back to Leiter potentially in a
– I don't think so. Now, we had this –
Oh, they'll go back to Leiter.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You can't be an elimination game with Leiter on 5 days rest at that point and not go back to him.
I will bet you right now. We're going to make a bet on the air because I don't think so. Here's why.
I'm with Rob on this.
Okay, I'll bet you both. I'll bet you. Chase, you want some too? No, so 5 days rest, which is much different. Also 123 pitches, which is an extraordinary workload.
I hear you.
Now, I think, and Jared and I were also arguing about this. I do think the idea of Leiter for an inning or two late in a Saturday game is possible. I absolutely don't think that Leiter will be getting the start of the game Saturday. So what are we betting?
Maybe a pedicure with Heidi.
If Leiter starts Saturday, you have to get that pedicure with Heidi.
Yeah.
If Leiter starts Saturday, I have to get the pedicure. But I have to get it with, like, Heidi and I are getting the pedicures together.
Wasn't that what she texted?
Yeah. I mean, where is this?
Like, look, I don't know.
I've never been to Dixon.
I'm leaving the details up to her.
Do they do good pedicures in Dixon?
I have no idea.
All right, well, we can meet some. That's fine. Okay, then what do you guys – what if I'm right and Leiter doesn't start Saturday? They'll lose tonight when the bet will never happen.
Yeah, the bet will be canceled. I don't know. We'll have to come up with that. Do I need to get a pedicure?
Well, you hate pedicures too, so yeah.
Okay.
Both of you. How about you? Are you a pedicure?
No, absolutely not.
You don't like pedicures?
I've never had one. I'm not getting a pedicure.
Yeah, you – oh,
well, then what are you insert yourself into the deal for?
Oh, you're afraid to bet? This bet, and afraid to get
make
a pedicure.
Make him cut his hair.
No.
Well, Port's not willing to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than like shaving your head or something, right?
Sure.
Just bet. Come on. No wimp. Gosh. Let's go.
We got to come up with something other than pedicure, Rob.
I mean, I think this is a nice tribute to Heidi, who brought it up on the text line.
I agree.
Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
Yes.
And I think it's a perfect bet. Chase, what do you think? Thumbs up. Okay, Chase has something. Okay, Chase is coming into the studio to, I don't know what he's doing. Is he going to give me a pedicure now?
No.
Here, check it out, man. I got some corns.
Port does not have his microphone turned on.
Yeah, because we never have someone in that spot.
Chase is on the camera, though.
Yeah, he is. Hi, looking everyone. Great, too.
There we go.
Celebrity Chase here.
Okay, two things, because I'm standing here listening to this, so I had to, you know, come in. I agree with Joe. So you and I are on the same page.
Okay.
On this.
It's a two-on-two bet.
It's okay. A two-on-two. If Darren McFarland is willing to put his hair on the line in a bet, which he did with Nate on Twitter, then I think Ryan should have to put his hair on the line.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Why not?
I'm not doing
that. Are you scared?
I'm scared of what my mug is going to look like with no hair.
I've seen it. We've all seen it.
No, we've seen it without the beard.
I thought you shaved your head once.
No.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
It was just a buzz.
I think the hair, look.
I not mean, 102.9 the buzz.
Jeez. Got it.
Nashville's
always got to be a dad joke in there somewhere.
I mean, look, I'd love the hair thing, but I think the pedicure thing is a lot less risk. You can get some crud scraped off the bottom of your foot. I'm sure it would be do you good.
Well, I'm not hungry
What
anymore.
If you like it?
Yeah, you might love it. Hey, I'm telling you. Katie and
I
Caroline.
Want some more of it.
Well, maybe you will. He's really bad.
Come on, Porth.
I'm willing
See,
to
this
sacrifice.
Is, okay. This, is what, this is what I think. This 20%. Is what I think. If you two lose because you're on the same page, you have to shave your head. You have to grow the what's left back out and just look.
Well, what does that mean?
I'd look like because you look like Friar Tuck.
Yeah, I mean, what good would that serve? All right, there's not a person that wants to see that.
So can we clarify this? Would he be pitching on Saturday, or does he have to start?
We're talking about starting. You guys say he is starting. Again, there's like a 20% chance the game happens.
Starting. This is true.
It's not that much
this
of a
is true.
Risk.
All right.
Just
all right.
Do it.
I'll do it.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So and the stakes are pedicures?
Pedicures.
Or are we shaving heads and growing hair?
We're doing pedicures.
No, we
there's
are not
no
touching
point.
Hair.
No point in me growing
and it's
my hair.
Also with Heidi. So it's a pedicure with Heidi, and you too, pedicure. Heidi is getting a pedicure with someone out of this.
Sure. I'm down.
Okay.
And we're going to find out that Heidi is a dude named Lou living in someone's basement. It'll be great.
Or it's Jared.
Or it's Jared.
Or it's a dude named Lou living in Jared's basement. There's so many possibilities.
We've lost Ryan.
Shout out to Lou.
10.
Shout out to Lou.
Thanks, Chase. We appreciate it.
Thank
appreciate
you, Chase.
You here on the
Thank
show,
you for
Lou.
Moderating, Chase.
Absolutely.
Chase is sort of like whatever sporting event, Chase, the voice of Chase, is kind of omnipresent, you know?
It is. I think we've lost Porth for the remainder of the show.
And this is not on camera.
I know.
Right? See?
He's totally screwed up. Just howling. Yeah, look, I'm comfortable with this. Like, my wife's going to be really happy with this. I've not gotten a pedicure at all, despite her wanting me to for the last 3 years. And if it happens because of Jack Leiter, Oh, that'd be a tough one.
Okay, I broke down a few years ago, probably like three. Yeah, it might have been like 5 years ago, and Katie got me in there, and it hurt. It hurt, man. I'm sorry. It really hurts. And then it tickles. It hurts. It tickles. It's weird. You're all like, oh, you're touching my foot. It's... Yeah, it's a good bet.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's a good bet. Some people love, like Katie and Caroline, you know, Vandy, they would do it every day. If
Vandy's going to win tonight by like 10 runs, and they'll have Rocker on the mound in the other game against NC State. This elimination game is happening. You can book it right now.
And Jack Leiter's going to start.
Jack Leiter's going to start.
You can't go down with Leiter on the bench.
He doesn't have to pitch seven innings, Joe.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if he were possibly used. But you also have to think about if you get to that point. So what's your rotation for the final series?
You got to get there. You can't worry about that.
I understand, but I think that combined with just the concern. I mean, he is a very young pitcher who doesn't normally go that deep, who normally gets a week between starts. I don't think Tim Corbin would do it. He has two freshmen who I think are both going to get a start if they do three games. One of them is Patrick Riley, probably tonight, and I think that would probably be Christian Little. And, yes, quick hooks in both cases and maybe Leiter an inning. But I don't think at all that he would start him, and I really hope we get to find out.
Not
we get
too.
Some crud scraped off your feet.
Bye, Lou.
Will Heidi have to give the pedicure?
Lou.
See what happens.
A boy named Lou.
On that front. It is time for Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Nashville SC back home tonight at Nissan Stadium, taking on Toronto. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal score for Nashville SC. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by Camarena Tequila and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in! Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Nashville SC back in action tonight at Nissan Stadium. The match beginning at 7:30 that you can hear right here on ESPN 94.9. Joe Rexrow, the standings are as such. You have one correct answer in the competition. The listeners have one correct answer in the competition as well. Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley in familiar territory, stuck behind you and the listeners at zero. So with that in mind, we begin today's edition of Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Ryan Porth, you have the first pick today.
Hani Mukhtar.
Wow, there's no hesitation there. Hani Mukhtar, the selection from Porth.
I picked him last week. No one scored for NSC Friday night, so I'm going back to the well with Mukhtar.
Cool. I have the second pick. I'm going Randall Leal.
Now, wait a minute. Last time I did this, I got the last pick.
Well, you were here last time. Beauclair had it.
There's foul play here.
No.
Foul play.
There's not.
It should have at least rotated to me to not be last every other time, right?
Nope, you're in last this time.
Hmm.
Go investigate the matter for yourself.
All right, who'd you pick?
Randall Leal.
Yonder Cadiz.
There you go.
There's not a lot of variety in these picks.
Well, they've got go-to goal scorers.
I understand. I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – like, it's very important that we have the fair order of selection.
It is.
Well, I don't think Yonder Cadiz is with the club right now. I think he's in –
Oh, shoot.
What is it? Copa America?
Yeah. Maybe Walker Zimmerman?
Dax McCarty was our backstage guest on Monday night.
He was.
Yeah. Give me Walker Z.
Walker Z. Off the board for Joe Rexrow.
All right.
You bailed him out.
Walker Z's here, right?
Yeah. Bailed him out there, okay. Should have just let him go.
Well, you know, just looking out for him.
Oh, like he doesn't need any help in these competitions. He's always in the lead.
I'm always looking out for Joe.
Won the Preds Pick to Click. Weekly winners.
You tied. Preds Pick to Click.
That tied with the listeners. Is that right?
Yep.
8-8. Yeah. What was it? 8-8?
I don't know what I had. 3, maybe?
I think I got to 5 or 6.
Yeah, you did. You got to 5.
That's not bad.
Poor, there was something going on in Major League Baseball yesterday that really grinded your gears. I found it hilarious with Max Scherzer. I lost count of how many times the umpires were checking his uniform, his hat, his hands, at one point his belt and his pants for the spider tack / sticky substances that pitchers had been using on their hands. It was quite the scene last night between Washington and the Philadelphia Phillies as well.
Well, Joe Girardi basically telling the umps, go check him in the middle of an inning.
Yeah.
So last week I had kind of mixed feelings about where this was going. I kind of saw what the side of the pitchers, kind of saw the side of the Major League Baseball front office, whatever, Rob Manfred, who wants to put this into effect. But I saw a video over the weekend from the Bally Sports Twitter account from the Braves, where Peter Moylan, former pitcher, went through an extensive breakdown of his feelings towards this and how the baseball is much harder to grip with how Major League Baseball is making them now. And he described how it would have impacted Tyler Glasnow's injury. And after watching that video, I have gone to the side of the pitchers on this, of how this is unfair, especially to do it in the middle of a season instead of implementing this in the winter. So you're now having these umps out there with the pitchers, checking them either before an inning, after an inning, or now in the middle of an inning. And it's to the point now where umpires are begging Max Scherzer to not take off his pants.
Yeah.
Like, how ridiculous is this?
Scherzer looked like he was about to murder somebody.
And Sergio Romo last night for the Oakland A's pulled down his pants. Like, how ridiculous is this?
It looks like they're going through airport security.
Yes.
Out there. It really does.
Like, they all have TSA pre-check, so they're getting through security pretty quick. But it's so ridiculous that Major League Baseball is going through these measures with every single pitcher in every single game. It is a complete clown show what Major League Baseball is doing, and I do sympathize with the pitchers. Yes, some of them use spider tack. It's been against the rules, but you know what? Pitchers have been breaking the rules for years, and Major League Baseball has never implemented it. And now, just randomly, they're going to implement it in the middle of a season.
Also, Joe Girardi's a clown, too, by the way.
Got kicked out last night. Nice stare down between Scherzer and Girardi.
And Girardi's like, come on, let's go!
It actually wasn't Scherzer that he was yelling at. It was the Nationals bench coach who used to coach with Girardi with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he was yelling at him because the bench coach was yelling expletives at Girardi.
Well, good.
And that's
Scherzer's
when Girardi got tossed.
Holding everything. Holding his,
showing his hands.
Here we go.
There's nothing on it.
It's pretty dumb.
So dumb.
It's been pretty entertaining to watch, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You
just got to hide the kids' eyes.
And look.
There's potential for nudity.
Major League Baseball just always
makes it.
Blue. Yeah. Major League Baseball just always makes it difficult for people to like their sport.
Yes.
Or enjoy watching their sport.
Yep.
Whenever they're in the news, it's all for the wrong reasons.
You know what's not difficult to like? Us here on the show, because we've always got things to give away. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win tickets to see Nashville SC take on Montreal coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Caller 5 at 615-737-1025. Joe, we had a good conversation earlier in the show about the NCAA, the Supreme Court ruling. A lot of thoughts we weren't able to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to some of those now and continue to take your thoughts tomorrow on the show as well. Will texting in, ask Belmont basketball how difficult it is to jump through NCAA hoops when it comes to a skilled player using his talents to train NBA players. Okay.
All right. I need more information.
Yeah, I do on that
but
too.
That sounds familiar. I mean, that's right in line with some things that just should be fine.
Randy on the text line. So these guys can double dip. The Supreme Court gives them the right to be given a car and a computer for, quote, educational purposes, and NIL allows them to do a car commercial or car dealership commercial for cash. Can the schools or NCAA put a benefit limit per athlete in them? Any and have any of these guys had to deal with 1099s or taxes?
I mean, listen, you're going to have agents. You're going to have financial planners. You know, with some athletes, men and women. So, sure, I mean, you have to figure all that stuff out. But I think there should not be a limit at all. I mean, to me, that makes zero sense. The NCAA is trying to hold on as much as they can and keep this as limited as possible. To me, the open market aspect of it should be open, and then you try to keep the other stuff from being chipped away. But that's just me.
I'm with you. Absolutely. I mean,
I want college sports to continue.
Sure. Absolutely. You know,
need to have scholarship limits and have to go to school. I mean, these things are – it's still college athletics. Do that and let them make money.
I am interested to see how this is going to affect recruiting, though. I mean, we had Dan Wetzel on earlier in the show. He said maybe it evens it out, helps balance recruiting a little bit. I don't know if I agree with that.
But can it get more unbalanced than it is right now? I don't think it can. I think it's the most unbalanced it's ever been.
I think it can.
Yeah, I just – again, if you do have scholarship limits – like, that's obviously a big part of it. Like I've heard some of the Texas oil money, they're going to recruit everybody. Yeah, but they're not all going to – you're not going to go to a place where you're not going to play, right?
Sure. Well, the amazing part is the NIL conversation, now this conversation, transfer portal, 12-team playoff. We've had these conversations for a year. Now they're all happening at once. It's
how
a lot
about
of fun.
That? Stir the pot. Mark Emmert. Sit around and make your millions.
Just one after the other. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.